Here. How was worship? Was it good? Yes. All right, man. I always want to. Oh, come on, man. How was worship? Was it good? Yes. Yes. Right. It was great if you're watching online. Okay. It was amazing. It really was good. That last song. Come on, man. Coming out of communion. I love that song. And I'm hoping we keep singing that one. So, but hello to all of you who made it here. Everybody who's watching online, hello to you as well. And if you're new or visiting, if we haven't met, my name's Andy, and I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm just so glad that you're here. And I'm just praying so far that God has met you, and that he continues to do so as we go through the rest of our worship service today. And so let's get to it. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and grab those or electronics and open them up to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Before we get there, I do want to bring a few things up really quick, I promise. And I want to talk about Easter for a second. You heard earlier, this weekend we launched our registration for Easter. And if you were here a few weeks ago, I talked about how important this will be for us as a church. We're expecting around 2,000 people with 3 services. So we need you to really think hard about what service you're coming to and sign up as soon as you can. Some of you already have done that. And so if you could do that as early as you can, that's going to help us be able to communicate to you what service is full and what service has more available seating. It'll be very important. Now, really quick, this is what I want to talk about for a second. If you are on a serving team with our Ridge Kids Ministry, K through 5th grade, okay? So a couple things. That Easter Sunday is a fifth Sunday, and so that's always kind of a harder Sunday anyways because we don't have everybody's schedule. We need to hear from every one of you on whether or not you can serve at a service, okay? Because it's a fifth Sunday. The schedule's a little bit different. So we need a yes or no from you, not a... Okay, like we need a yes or no. We don't know what some of you are doing, and we need to fill in those slots. We know that some of you will be here, so just pick a service you can serve in. Let your leader know today. Let him know as soon as possible what service you can serve in, and then you can sit at the other service, okay? Everybody good? Everybody on the same page? Yes? Are you going to register? Yes? Oh, man. All right, here we go. We are wrapping up our series. We're about hurry. And again, we're not talking about the hurry problem as much as we are talking about how God's plan can actually prevent the penalties that hurry could bring in our lives. And so instead, here's what we get to see. We can see a more balanced life with God and with others around us, okay? And so far what we've looked at are these practices that God has given us to get rid of hurry. So we looked at the practice of silence and solitude. And then a couple weeks ago, we looked at practicing a Sabbath day of rest. And last week, we looked at simplicity about saying no. And today, we're going to wrap this series up with the last one. And here's what it is. We're going to talk about slowing. That's the last practice, slowing. And if you don't know what I mean by slowing, here's what I mean. God actually has a different word for that, and it's a word that all of us know, and it's actually a word that most of us can use a little bit of help in, and it's this word, patience. Patience. That's not a four-letter word. It's the word patience, okay? And so that's what we're going to talk about. So here's what I want to do to get started. What I want to do to get started is I want to give you kind of some things I found out about how patient we are, kind of a test. And I just want to see how many of you pass my patience test, okay? Are you ready? How many are confident right now before I give that you will pass it? How many are confident you'll pass it? Oh, you brave souls. Okay, here we go. Ready? Here we go. I don't have it on screen. I'll just talk. This study that I found says more than half of Americans, half of you, admit to honking after the light turns green. Oh, I already heard some. Whoa. 72% of you admit to pushing an already lit elevator button. Anybody, okay? Yeah, you already failed. Listen to this one. This is a great one. I love this one. 96% of us will knowingly consume extremely hot food or drink that burns our mouth, okay? 63% will do it on a consistent basis. Isn't that great? That's a good one. More than half hang up the phone after being on hold for 1 minute. 71% frequently exceed the speed limit to get your destination faster. How dare you? How dare you, speed? And listen to this. This is the last one. When waiting for a table at a restaurant, okay, 1 out of 4 people wait less than 1 minute before approaching the host once your wait period has come up, right? So if your time's up, you're like, hey, our time, right? So, okay. Anybody get out of there unscathed? Anybody? If you did, you're a liar, okay? Man, some of those were kind of eye-opening, weren't they? I just thought that'd be a good way to start today. And so here's the connection that we're going to talk about today as we wrap up this series. Hurry causes us to be impatient. That's what we're going to talk about. That when you are living in, again, not a busy way, but a hurried way. Remember, those are very different things. But when you are living in a hurried way, you cannot maintain the patience you need to grow and cultivate the things that really matter. And that's what we're going after today. Because, listen, if you think about it, what are the things that matter in your life? If you think about the things that really matter in your life, every single one of them requires patience. Think about it. So for instance, if you want a healthy, good marriage, that requires patience, right? Right? Marriages are a mess if you don't have patience. Parenting requires patience, and then more patience, and then patience after that, right? Really, you need patience. Actually, Tim Keller said this about parenting. I thought this was really funny. He said, parenting isn't just hard without patience, it's illegal. I thought that was pretty funny. You need patience with your kids, all right? And here's what I'm saying. Our culture, though, listen, does not cultivate patience. In fact, it actually perpetuates the opposite of it. We are a one-click society with instant gratification issues, everybody, and that causes us to have problems that we have when we want to find the rest, when we want to find the peace that God wants to give us, okay? So I thought I'd found a few places in the Bible that talks about this. I want to give you a list of a few places before we get to James 5 that talks about patience, so we can kind of see what patience or not having patience kind of leads to in our spiritual lives. So just real quick, here's a couple of them. Ephesians 4:2 says, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. So we can't bear with one another without patience. We have to have that. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It goes on to list a whole bunch more, but just notice the very first quality of love that is patient. That if we want to love well, we have to be patient. Here's the next one. This is 2 Timothy. It says, preach the word, right? Be prepared in season and out season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. I love this one because I think actually a lot of Christians miss this last detail, because I think what a lot of us get on the board of is this idea of like, man, yeah, correct and rebuke. And the other word for encourage is exhort. And it's almost like, you go get them. You get them with that truth, Andy, right? And I think that's how we get sometimes. But listen, what I want us to notice is it says, yeah, you do that, but you do it with great patience and actually love, not yelling and frustration. I don't know why, and I say this a lot because I just don't want us to be that. I think there's this weird wing of like Sikkim Christianity. Everybody, I can't find it in the Bible. I'm sorry, I cannot find it in the Bible. So if you want to, if you want to be a carrier of God's truth, you have to be patient with people. That's what it's saying. You have to have patience in your life. Here's the last one in 1 Thessalonians. It says, and we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak. So all these people, be patient with everyone. Be patient. So we're called here to be patient with all people, right? Not just that group of people, but with all people. So there's a lot of implications about being patient. And so slowing or having patience in life is a key to so much in our faith and how we should be operating with God and people. And by the way, I found this interesting. The world's catching on to this too. As I was researching, I found a bunch of interesting articles. But one article I found actually came from CBS Sunday Mornings, okay? And they interviewed this doctor. His name was Dr. Amit Sood from the Mayo Clinic. And here's what he said he found. I don't remember what year this was from. But this is his experience on impatience. Here's what he said. I have it up here. He says this. He says, and so he traveled the world as a renowned doctor, and it says, impatience is not simply the opposite of patience, Sood explained. Rather, the absence of patience brings anxiety, illness, injury, loneliness, and even death. And he goes on to say this. He goes, impatience or a lack of patience can even have a long-term effect on one's DNA. So if we were to take your blood sample and measure your telomeres, which are at the end of chromosomes, listen, the shorter they are, the smaller they are, the older you are, and people who are impatient have shorter telomeres. I found that interesting. So this is where we are. And I always like doing this because I always like pointing out where culture intersects with what God's truth has always said. You know, I just find that, I just want to say it because, and this happens all the time with God's word, by the way, like where, you know, science or culture will catch up to what God has already said from the very beginning. They act like they found something new. Listen, there's nothing new under the sun, everybody. God's been talking, so we shouldn't be surprised, right? God has been telling us and imploring us about this since the very beginning. So in order to experience the goodness of God, In order to experience his rest, his soul-satisfying rest, you need to have patience. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to jump to James chapter 5. Hopefully you made your way there. And we're going to just figure out this slowing thing together as he lays out some things with us. Where here's what I want to see. Where patience for us isn't just an anomaly, but it's the norm that we're actually living. It's the standard of how we operate as followers of Jesus Christ. Okay, so we're going to be in James 5, and we're going to pick this up in verse 7, all right? So here we go. He says this, be patient. So he just cuts to the chase. I love that. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. Okay, so the first two words here, he gets right to the command, right? Be patient. So what is patience exactly? I didn't have it in our notes or on the screens there, but here's what I found. I actually like how this guy is a pastor and author. His name's Paul Tripp. Here's how he defines patience. Listen to this. Patience is quietness of heart, rest of soul in the face of delay. Let me say that again. Patience is quietness of heart, rest of soul in the face of delay. And so the way that I would say it is this, is that patience then, here it is, it's the ability to wait and endure without giving in to selfishness, anger, or frustration. It's the ability to wait and endure without giving in to actually selfishness, anger, or frustration. And so James tells us as followers of Jesus Christ, he just says, okay then, be that. Be patient. And in the next couple of verses, here's what we're going to see. If you got your notes, go ahead and grab those and get them out. He's going to give us four things that we should be patient in as followers of Jesus. And I do want you to notice this as we go through these next several verses, because here's what he's going to give. It's going to seem like these are general areas of life, and I would say they are, don't miss this. This is what I don't want you to miss today. That, listen to me, that we who are here as believers and followers of Jesus Christ, okay, that Jesus should and does has a different reaction through us all together. That here's what I want to say, that in Jesus we should have a different response in this world. That's what he's getting at, that we do differently than the world does, because that's what Jesus does, gang. You hear me? Somebody hear me out there? That's what he does. I really hope through this series that's what you've seen. That this isn't just a self-help kind of thing. None of these things that we're talking about, it's more than that. It's deeper than that. This isn't general guidance for life. This is much richer, much deeper than that, because what this should point us to, not just today, but the last 3 weeks, is listen to me, that when you have Jesus, right, when you have him, your life will and should look radically different than the world does. It should look radically different. And really, honestly, here's what I want to say. Apart from Jesus, none of these practices that we talked about actually make sense in the world. They don't. They don't make sense. So think about this. Think about practicing deliberate silence and solitude, having a Sabbath day of rest, saying no to create margin. Like, none of those make sense in the world that we're living in. None of them do. And I really think, by the way, that's why I think some of these are being met for some with frustration or kind of pushback as Christians. And it's because, but here's why I want to say it's me, like, where we go, oh man, I don't know if I can do that. How do you do that? How do you do Sabbath? What does that mean? I want to encourage you a little bit if you feel that through the last couple of weeks. I actually think that it's because you know you want to be different. I really do. I think you know that's what God should do in your life. But the pull of this world is so strong. Am I saying something to somebody out there? It's pulling us back the other way. And so here's what I want to do today. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you today. Go after these things. They are different. If you're wondering if they are very different. And they are different for a reason. Because when we have Jesus, man, I'm telling you, he makes us different. He makes us different. And we cannot accomplish these things on our own, but he who is in us can. Amen, somebody? He can, so we lean in to him. It looks different. It will be different. And I'm saying this because, listen, when you look at patience, right? Like, patience is one of those things where you can go, well, I mean, everybody will benefit from patience, right? Like, patience isn't exclusive to Jesus. And I would say this, true, but gang, here's what I think we'll come out of this today with. I think that we'll find out here that with Jesus, listen to me, even patience will be different. I'll let him prove himself in this with what we're going to go. Okay, all right, so here we go. Four things that he says, as a follower of Jesus, you will be patient in this. And here's what it goes. Verse 7, we're going to keep reading. He goes this, see how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Okay, and so here's the first thing that Jesus' followers should have patience in. It says that we have patience to wait. That we have to have in life, just life, we have to have patience to wait. And so what James does in each one of these, he's going to kind of give us some examples to look at with each one of these. I love this scripture here. So he gives us the farmer in this one as the example, right? Now, I'm not a farmer. I don't know. I'm a gardener. I'm not a very good one. Okay, so I don't really know a lot about farming. But as I studied the commentary, I found some things really fascinating. So the commentary on this said that in James's day and in the place where he was at, here's what we know. This is what we know. This is what he said. That in that time, rains only came like several times a year. That was it. They actually only came a few times a year. And so what farmers had to do is that you had to wait for the rain before you plant. You had to wait for it before you ever planted. And here's what every farmer understands. This is what every farmer understands. That there are elements of farming and of growing crops that are absolutely out of your control. They're actually only in God's hands. They're in the hands of God. So things like the weather, things like the natural resources, okay? And again, I'm not a farmer. My amateur gardens, like I get this too in my little garden. Like I get anxieties in my garden, because I'm like, oh, is it going to rain today or not? I don't know. What do I need to do? Like, I do that. And I wake up in the morning, I'm like, come on, rain, come on. Like, so I understand, like, that's what happens. But so here's what I want to say. This is what it's getting at with us, okay? Listen, you know this. Like, everything that we really want always takes longer than you want, right? Like, everything you really want always takes longer than you want. And with living in this one-click world that we are, man, that where you get things so fast, it messes with our ability to wait. It really does. But with the things that really matter, what James is trying to encourage us with is, and the things that sustain us and change us, they take time, right? You can't microwave that kind of stuff. But here's what every farmer knows. Every farmer knows this, is that the waiting isn't useless. It's actually necessary. And what we take from this is that waiting for us isn't useless either, that it's absolutely necessary. Because here's what the farmer knows. Here's what they know and what we need to understand in our lives. They know that radical change is taking place even when their eyes can't see it. You hear me, somebody? Like, radical change is happening even when we don't see it. Fruit doesn't just grow right after you plant. It doesn't. It goes through all these phases and processes. So for us, just like the farmer, we need to be able to have patience to wait, because here's what we know, and this is what's different, because we know that with Jesus, waiting isn't just about what we get. Waiting is about who we become while we wait. It's about who we also become while we wait. And we also know that with what matters, like that isn't always going to happen right now, right away. So just be patient. You following what he's saying? All right, next verse. That's the first one. Verse 9. He goes, okay, now don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Actually, he says the judge is standing at the door. Okay. I don't know why he did that. I was like, whoa, okay, James. All right, so here's the second one. And I think this is why, because he's saying as followers of Jesus, you need to be patient with people. That you will have patience with people. Now, in this one, I do want you to notice this. We saw earlier on that we are actually called to be patient with everybody. But James is very specific here. He actually isn't saying be patient with everybody in this one, but he's saying with each other. And so James isn't talking about our enemies. He's not talking about the people who've wronged us. He's actually saying, don't grumble with one another. He's saying, with brothers and sisters in Christ, don't do that. Because why? He's saying, because the judge God himself is watching you. I just find that, I'm like, whoa, okay, man. Like, I find that interesting. And listen, here's what I want to tell you. I've said this a few times already, and you're going to hear me say it over and over again. And I think it's going to keep popping up for us, because I told you this early in January. I've had a call on me, and it will not go away. I'm trying sometimes. Like, God, I get it. But, man, I feel like over and over again, I feel like this call on me from God is to preach and encourage our call to love one another this season as a church. It just keeps coming up over and over again that we need to love each other really well. I said that a few months ago, and I'm going to keep saying it. And I've just felt this impressed on me by God over and over. And what I found really interesting here is God keeps putting it right in front of my face. So I will tell you, I did not look for this to make it as a point. It came right there, and God goes, there it is again. And like, it was really crazy. I'm like, God, okay. He's like, no, there it is. There you got to tell everybody. We need to do better at this. You hear me out there? We need to do better at this, brothers and sisters in Christ. The world is watching, and God, the judge himself, is watching us. And he's saying, man, I want to encourage you to love different. Because here's what I want to say. We are not each other's enemies. Do you hear me out there? We've got other ones. We are not each other's enemies. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, and that should mean something. That means that we should love each other differently, that we should come after tension differently. We should go after relationships differently. We should go after conflict differently, that we don't have this annoyance or irritation with each other like the world does. But we know why. Why? Because we know that God, what God wants, he wants unity. He wants unity in Jesus, and that love is that is patient for one another. So we're patient with one another. And that doesn't mean we don't call out our brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't get me wrong. But listen, we've got to do it with patience, and we don't grumble. We don't grumble. Right? Because he's at the door. All right, next one. Here we go. Hopefully you'll remember that. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. And so here's the third thing that he's calling us to be patient is that we are patient in suffering. That we have patience, listen, through and in suffering. And so here's what I want to say as you're writing that one down. What James is getting at is it's not the kind of suffering where it's like a little bump in the road. It's not the kind of suffering where it's like this inconvenience or you get hurt feelings like with what he was saying in the earlier one or where life just doesn't go the way that it should. No, this is what I want to tell you, everybody. This is suffering at the loss level. He's talking about suffering at the pain level. This is the deepest level of suffering that he's talking about. And here's what he's saying. We are called to have patience. That we're called to have patience. And James here gives us two examples to follow. He gives us the prophets and he gives us Job. And I'm gonna tell you, those are not the most encouraging examples right off the bat. So let me tell you a little bit about them if you don't know much about them. So real quick, here's the prophets that he gives us an example to look at. Prophets in the Old Testament were people who preached the word of God and gave God's revelation for things that were going to happen in the future. All right, and prophets spent their entire time trying to convince a group of people to do something they did not want to do. They never wanted to do what the prophets actually said. So at minimum, listen, the prophets were not popular. And at most, they were martyred and put to death. Like that. So that's the prophets, okay? And on top of that, think about this. All of the prophecies that they gave never came to be until after they died. So they all came to be, but they didn't get to see it in their lifetime, okay? So that's the prophets. And then Job, okay? I mean, the only thing that happened to Job was that he lost all his family, all his health, and all his wealth, all right? Actually, there was only one person that was left with Job, and it was his wife. That was the only person that died. And in Job chapter 2, in the very beginning, she came up to him and said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" That's an encourager. You know what I'm saying? Like, so the only person that God left with Job was his incredibly supportive wife. Thank you for that, God, right? Like, thank you so much. But here's what he's saying. Here's what James is getting at. See, it's in those moments. It's in those moments of suffering. Listen to me, somebody, because I know you're here. It's in the midst of that loss or pain, in the seasons that we're in, where the weight is weary, where it's easy to say, why bother? It's easy to say, what's the use? It's easy to say, why stay obedient? Why try so hard to listen to God? I don't feel like he's very active right now in my life. But James, here's what he says. He goes, remember those examples. Why? Let me tell you why. Because think about it. If you were living in the present time of those folks that we just mentioned, if you were in the present time of the prophets and in the present time of Job, would you have considered them blessed? Like, would you have looked at them in the middle of what they were going through and said, man, wow, that's a blessed person? No, you would have actually said, no, that's a cursed person. They are cursed. And here's the thing. The point of this is that these people went through incredible seasons and stretches of suffering in their lives. And why James is telling you and he's telling me to recall them is because of this, that for all of them, not for some of them, for every single one of them, in the end, listen to me, their prophecies came true. Their words came to be, their knowledge of God being God never left. And it's only now that we say in light and view of eternity, man, they are blessed. They are incredibly blessed because they had to wait for the blessing. And here's what I want to say, they had to have patience and the blessing came, everybody. And so here's what I want to say to you right now. There are so many of us right now, me included, who have and are experiencing real pain. Loss. Hardship, depression. But God does help us make sense of it. He does. He really does. That God has a plan. That God has a plan. And here's what I want to tell you and encourage you in today, that his plan is so much greater than our pain. Come on, somebody. That he will not let that go unlooked at and unresponsive with. Because see, here's the thing. Without God, then there is no plan. There is no purpose. There is no greater thing that will come as a result. So we have patience through suffering. I hope that you're encouraged about that today in the middle of what you're going through. And here's the last one that we have, patience. We have patience with God. We have patience with God. And so here's what I'm getting at with this one. It's in every section. So you don't see it like in one little place. It's in every single verse. I want to give you some. So if you go back, you can read it yourself. But here's what he says in four different ways. The first one, he says, be patient until the Lord's coming. Then the next one, he says, the Lord's coming is near. Then he says, he's standing at the door. Okay, and then he's full of compassion and mercy. And so here's how this one fits, everybody. So here's what I want to say. Look at that list if you filled out that list. Just look at it. The three things that James is saying, this is what you will be patient in, okay? I don't know if you're like me, but if when I look at those three, at least for me, I didn't look at those and go, geez, is that all you got, God? No problem. Like, what's the fourth one? Like, I mean, geez, be patient to wait, be patient with people, be patient through suffering. Is that it? No, that's not what we're like. That's a huge list. That each one of those is a sermon by itself, okay? And listen to me, there is a next one. There is a next, there is a fourth one. But let me tell you this. This is what turned it around for me when I looked at this. This is the key to finding the other three, everybody. You hear what I'm saying? This one is the key to finding the other three. In fact, if you can have patience with God, then what you will find in your life, it's a fact, the other three will actually mature and grow as you go. I'm telling you right now, if you can just have patience with God, then all the other patience will grow in a result. Because here's what's driving this last one. James tells us over and over again, what is the driving factor is this, and here's what he says, the Lord is coming. It's the second coming of Jesus. That's what's driving us to have patience. So it's this one reminder. It's this one thing that compels us to have patience in every area of life. So James is saying, hey, don't forget that once Jesus comes back, and he will, it's promised, it's a promise. And when he does, everything will be wiped away. All sin will be gone and everything will be made right. But here's what he's saying, but it's just not yet. It's just not yet. And this is where we are right now. Here's where we're all at, gang. We're in the not yet. Listen, we're there whether you believe in Jesus or whether you don't. We are in the middle. Every single one of us, we are in the middle. Here's what we're in the middle of. I just want you to catch it. We are in the middle of what Jesus already did, which is his life, death, and resurrection. He rose from the grave. And so we're in the middle of that, and we're in the middle of what he will do, which is come back and wipe sin away. And listen to me, restore what's right with God. He will restore shalom, which is the way that it's supposed to be. And so I'm just telling you, that's established. Whether you believe in this or not, it's established. It's a fact. You can make book on that, and that's what he is saying. It's universal for every single one of us here, and we are all right now in the middle of that. And here's what I want to encourage you as a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ in this. See, here's what we get to do in the middle. See, we have a choice, and I'm telling you, it's this one choice that will drive all the other things that we've been talking about. Here's the choice. Are you ready? Either trust God or don't trust God. Either trust him or don't. And this one choice, this is the one choice that will impact your patience, I'm telling you. Because here's why. You will not be patient in life or with people or through suffering unless you're patient with God. And here's the other thing, if you think about it. If you find yourself impatient with these areas of life, it's because whether you know it or not, you're not fully trusting God. You're not fully trusting with his promises. It's the result of you being impatient with God. But here's what I want to encourage you. But when you are patient with God, when you do see the full view of what he's trying to tell you, listen, knowing that he will make all things right, then all those other patient principles will grow and mature. Isn't that awesome to know? It's really just one. It's one thing that will really be the key to the other three, okay? Now, I want to spend the rest of our time. I got 2 minutes. There's no way. Anyways, I'm going to spend the rest of our time to help and see how we get patience to develop and grow. Okay, so I'm gonna end with two things. You see those on your outlines. Now, this is what's neat. One of them is practical and the other is a spiritual disposition. All right, one is practical and the other is spiritual disposition. So here's the first one that we want to cultivate and grow it, is that we gotta practice slowing in the present. We need to practice slowing in the present. All right, so I don't know if you knew this, and many of you actually missed this. You really missed this. But God, if you didn't know this, gives you all kinds of daily opportunities to practice patience. Did you know that? For instance, I will tell you something. He will give you interruptions. That's one. Here's another one he seems to give me a lot of in traffic. Aggravations. He will give you aggravations. I don't know why you get those. They pop up all the time in their traffic. Another one is this, inconveniences. And I know you're like, Andy, those don't sound like opportunities. They sound like problems. I know, I said you miss them all the time. You're missing them because that's what he's giving you. And here's what I'm trying to tell you. But if you could see them as opportunities and not problems, it's going to change your life. You hear what I'm saying? If you could see him in the front, say, okay, God, is this one of them opportunities you, Andy, was talking about? Yeah. He's like, yeah, it is. But when you do that, here's what can develop. I'm telling you, I promise this happens to me because it happens when I recognize these things as opportunities. So here's what will happen. You'll get a bigger perspective. Come on. You know what else you'll develop? A sense of humor. I'm telling you right now, you will get a sense of humor and you will get closer to God as a result. I promise you. Just try it. Just try it. And the best thing you could do is just call it out as early, even with your voice, like, God, is this an opportunity? And you'll feel him go, yeah, yeah, this one. Every day, he will give you some of these. And here's like second level practice. You ready for this? So not only do you see the opportunities that come, but do you know what really patient people do? They actually create more than they have. Did you know that? They create more to practice. In his book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, that we've been studying along with this, John Mark Comer gives us a list of 20 things that you can do to practice slowing to encourage more patience. So here's a couple of them. One, listen to these. One is that you deliberately drive in the slow lane the whole time to get to a place. Another one, here's another one, arrive somewhere 10 minutes early without your phone, without using your phone, and just waiting. How about that one? How about this one? This is a great one. To deliberately find the longest line at a grocery store where you check out and use it. All right? Like, here's the point. And then like 17 others, but here's the point. What he's saying is you got to slow your pace. And here's what he's saying. When you slow your pace, see, you'll slow your soul. And when you slow your soul and when you're doing it deliberately, then what you're going to find come is the patience of God coming on you, and then you'll be able to use it when you need it. You hear what I'm saying, somebody? I'm telling you, so we got to practice. Here's the second one. This is the spiritual disposition. Lean into God's grace. Lean into God's grace. And so here's what I want to tell you really quick in the next 10 seconds, okay? Yeah, I know. Some of you laughed. Okay, anyways. Here's the truth about patience. Here it is. You ready? You need to catch this because this is what I found. There is not one study, there is not one Bible verse that says patience will increase with age. So it's not the older you get, the more patience. Yeah, in fact, I've met a lot of grumpy, impatient old people. You know what I'm saying? So it ain't that. It's not the older you get. Like, you ain't gonna get there. Patience doesn't just increase with time. Listen to me, patience doesn't increase with doing good deeds. Here's what I found. Here's what I've concluded. Do you know how patience actually grows? Patience only will grow through God's grace. And so let me tell you where I got this from. This is a key to God. This is an absolute key to God. Brandon, on Sunday night at our night of worship, he brought this verse up, and I'm telling you, this just slammed me. I can't get it out of my mind with what he should. It's just been sitting on me. And it says this, Romans 5:2. Look at what this says, and I'll talk about it. It says this, don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see, listen, that his kindness is intended to turn you from sin. And so here's what I want you to see. So this is the power that turns us from sin. This is what compels us to actually turn to him. And it's what I'm telling you so many people miss about Christianity. Because what brings repentance, what brings and compels us to be made right with God, it's not the torment of hell. It's not the punishment of God that does it. It's his kindness. Did you see that? I hope you see it because it's right there. Look at it again. It's so powerful. And it's what so many Christians miss. Don't you see, listen to me, what the grace of God does? Don't you see his grace on you? Don't you see how wonderfully kind and tolerant and patient he is with you? It'll change you. It'll turn you. And listen to me, it will strengthen you. It will encourage you. Because understanding God's grace on you, his unmerited favor on you, that's what'll turn you. That's what will compel you. That's what will spur you on to go after patience in this life, and it'll empower me to be impatient. Listen to me, in relationships, it'll empower me to endure trials with hope. It'll empower me to forgive as we've been forgiven. It will change your entire concept of life. Amen, somebody? It's true. And gang, I'm trying to tell you, and I need to say this over and over again, it's his grace that does this. Unmerited, you don't deserve one bit of it. And he goes, I'm gonna give you more than you ever deserve. And that's not even gonna fill you up, it's gonna overflow in your life. And that's gonna cause you to do the things that you're gonna do. And it's God's grace on you and all over you to have patience in a world that needs to see it and needs to understand that it's through God's power that does that. It's God who's doing it and it's not us. And it's what, listen, here's what I wanna tell you. That's what's uniquely different than the patience the world knows. Can we communicate that out in the world? Yes, somebody? Come on, let's communicate that kind of patience out in this world. And here's an encouragement for you as we end. Remember, Jesus is coming back. Don't forget he's coming back. It's a promise. He's gonna make everything right. But until then, in the middle, we practice patience. We have an amazing patience about us because the promise that there will be final resolution will compel us to do that. God promises that. He's working all things out. Right now in this middle, in the midst of whatever you're going through, he is working that out. Do you believe it? Do you trust him? He's working it out. He's spurring us on. Hang in there. Hang in there. I got you. I'm not inactive. Think of the farmer. If you only saw what's growing right now, if you only saw what's being cultivated in your life, keep coming back to me. Because man, I'm doing the work. Blessings are promised, they're coming. Amen, everybody. Yeah, let's pray. God, we come to you and I just thank you so much for this message and this encouragement. I thank you for this series. I know it's been one that we've been talking a lot about in our home group, and it's one that we've been really encouraged in. Also, some little bit frustration because it's hard to be living in this world and practice these things you want us to practice, but we're frustrated because we want to go after the things you want us to go after, and we can only do it in because of you who is in us. Holy Spirit, work in us. I pray that we find wherever we're not trusting you, dig that out in us, root that out in us so that we can put our full trust in you so that we can experience the rest and peace that you want to give us in this hurried life that the world is telling us to live. Help us just say no to those things. Help us to be compelled by your grace and your love for us and your mercy and your kindness. That's what turns us. That's what actually causes us to run to you with open arms. We love you and we need you. And it's for all this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, I do want to say really quick before you get up, on Sunday, if you weren't here, we launched a prayer team. Hey, that's awesome, isn't it? Now, what you're gonna see up here on these sides is every Sunday, or as we announce this, and we will have this today, we have a prayer team coming forward. If you need prayer right now, if you just hang back for a minute or so, our prayer team, you'll see these signs. We'll have those folks up here every Sunday. Anything you need prayer for, anything that you want them to pray over, our prayer team would love to pray for you. So they'll be up here waiting for you whenever or however the Lord's leading you to do that. We'll just want to make that available to you. So I just want to make sure I announce that. So, hey, have a great Sunday. We will see you here next time.